Blog Talk Radio.
Who hears my mission? All I came to do is set the whole mess straight. All I came to do is set the whole mess straight. All I can miss is set the whole mess straight. All I came to do is set the whole mess straight. Lo and lo, El Elyon, the most highest of the highest ones.
Lamana. He's with us all. See, Tamun Hasun, Kaun Sim. Before we start the show, we're going to take 9 moments of silence for our mothers, fathers, brothers, and sisters, our elders, for those who are sick or ill, who are going through things, and for those who have moved on or passed on to a higher life. Also for our master teacher, Yanun Zodak Hua. Kuamana, he's with us all. See Tamum Hasum in perfect harmony. Kawun Sin, let it be so, let it exist. Hua family and newcomers, the Hua family who, Humanity United, the House of Hu, presents on Mondays through Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time with the Brothers of Hu Order and the Sisters of He Order, the student teachers of Hu, Humanity United. This is the House of Hu. We are the family of Hua, Humanity United, who is divine love and his divine will, with right knowledge, right wisdom, and right understanding. This shadow hour, I'm your hostess, Mintiki Kor, with our Lugals and Lugouts. If you would like to call in, call 773-897-6495. If you have any questions, please press 1 on your phone, and I'll be notified that your hand is up, and I will patch you in by saying the last 4 digits of your number twice. You can also ask your questions, state your comments, and tell us your concerns on the ATM Blog Talk Radio chat room. Please be sure to contact our office for any questions or comments. To contact our office, you can do so by email at h.t.m.office19@gmail.com, humanityunited19@gmail.com, and htm.office19@yahoo.com. You can also give us a call on the office number at 678-856-6445. 1319. And be sure to check out our webpage at blogtalkradio.com/HTM19. The Tawuf ceremony, or Testimonial Affirmation of Witness Bearing ceremony, is on next September, on Saturday, September 18th. Again, the Tawuf ceremony will be on September 18th of 2015. You must find an alternative, excuse me, it will be on September 19th of 2015. On the week of the Tawuf, no orders of any kind are to be taken. You must find an alternative outfit, which would be preferably all white, but it can be an all dark green. Please, no jewelry, no makeup, no nail polish, no perfume, no cologne, no deodorant, and no oil until after the ceremony. Shoes are to be earth tone, no loud colors, and if you have a hair dye and or perm, you must have a head cover, preferably all white, but it can be an all dark green. Please read or listen to the tableau for instructions on pre-ceremony regarding your bath, your fast, which is after the last dinner, the shadow hour before the ceremony. If you would like to show love and support to the Hua family, you can send your Hua free will love offerings by calling the House of Hua office or emailing us. And if you would like to purchase the Behold the Cross Part 1, you can order the scroll or CD today by calling the office at 678-856-1319. So once again, I'm your hostess, Nantiki Kaur, with Hua Humanity United, the House of Hua. Presents on Mondays through Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the Brothers of Hua Order and the Sisters of He Order, the Student Teachers of Hua. This is the House of Hua. We are the family of Hua, Humanity United, who is love, divine love, and His divine will, with right knowledge, right wisdom, and right understanding. At this time, I'm going to bring the student teacher that will be teaching the Shadow Hour.
Huamana.
Huamana.
Fita mumatum kabum fin. I am student teacher. Lugal Neb Shu Hadaku Hu Mupi Zoda. Student teacher with the Brotherhood Order of Hu, with the House of Hu, Humanity United. I would like to give my full reverence to Hua, Yanun Zoda, the Master Teacher, Nibu, and all of our family across the universe. How are you doing, the Shadow System?
I'm doing my best, brother. How are you doing, the Shadow Hour? And thank you for asking.
Doing my best as well.
Hello, Manas. I am Digara Nora Ray Zodak, student teacher of the House of Hu, Humanity United, with the Sisterhood Order of He. I am here to assist the Lugav that is teaching the Shadow. I would like to give my full reverence to Hua Nyanu Zodak, our master teacher. How are you all doing, the Shadow?
We're doing our best, sister. Thank you for asking. And how are you doing, the Shadow Hour?
I am doing my best as well.
The best as one can do. At this time, we are having people coming in, so if you want to, you can go ahead and teach.
Right, Hua Mana family, listeners. I'd like to start off the show with a quote from a master teacher. This is coming out of the inspirational sayings of Dr. Malachi Z. York. This is number 64. You can't fall off the floor. Now, the reason why I picked that today is because what we're going to be talking about is talking about Christianity and, you know, the ways that we do. And one of the things that I want to talk about is, you know, us praying and being on our knees and things like that. It was a song that I heard. It was by an artist named Erica Badu. Pretty sure everybody knows about her. It was a song that she written. It was entitled 20 Feet Tall. And I just want to go ahead and read the lyrics of that to everybody so that we can know exactly what she was talking about. It says, my love, what did I do to make you fall so far from me? And now I can recall, because of the fall, selective memory. Then you built a wall, a 20-foot wall, so I couldn't see. But if I get off my knees, then I might recall I'm 20 feet tall. Now that song is very deep. It's on one of her latest albums. And it has a lot of meaning to it. If only we would just get off our knees, we may realize that we are 20 feet tall and that we'll be able to see over this wall that's been built around us. You know, we have to, everybody deals with this word called faith. You know, we're so comfortable being behind this wall and just having faith that, you know, everything's going to be okay. Everything on the other side of that wall is going to be all right, even though we can't see it, even though we don't know exactly what's behind it. And all we have to do to actually know what's behind it and to get from this faith and get back into knowing is to stand up on our feet and look over this wall that's 20 feet tall. So that's why I chose that song and why I chose the scripture from the Master Teacher, because we just have to realize that that's all we really have to do, is to get up on our feet and to do for ourselves, because we're so comfortable with this religion, no matter if it's Christianity, Islam, Judaism, whatever the case may be, whatever the religion is, it's something that makes you comfortable. It's something that's like a safety net. Like the Master Teacher said, you can't fall off the floor. And we're so safe with that. You know, there's no mistakes that could be made. There's no responsibility. So that's what we want to talk about, this shadow. You know, it was a conversation that was happening with somebody on social media. And, you know, we was talking about a whole bunch of different things, dealing with, you know, the truth, right knowledge, you know, our beginnings, our origins, and things of that nature. And she had asked me, you know, okay, it's cool that you're telling me all this, but what is this going to do, or how is this going to affect me, you know, knowing this information today or now, and how is it going to have any effect on my future? You know, having the difference between knowing that God means Elohim, or which is a plural, meaning these beings, or being able to understand that J was not even in the original, one of the original spoken languages. All these different kind of, you know, great to know information things that, you know, a lot of us, quote unquote, conscious people like to spit out. She wanted to know, how is this going to affect her today, and how is this going to affect my future? And I just want to know, sister, before I go into it, how do you think that this would affect, you know, if they were to know the truth versus the lies that we've been taught, and, you know, the ways that we've been brought up? How do you think that it would change our future or have any kind of effect if we were to know the truth versus what we've known before?
Well, I think that acknowledging our past, for one, it gives us a better outlook on ourselves. We don't look like, you know, how they try to put us out there to be, like we're not nothing, or we're just like the cattle or whatever. It gives us it gives us a sense of pride, but not to the point where it's like conceitedness or anything like that. It's you acknowledging yourself. So I think that acknowledging our past gives us that. And also, it basically tells you who you are, that, you know, life before slavery and all of that, and, you know, stuff like that.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't know where you're going unless you know where you come from. And the reason why we need to know these types of things is so that we can do away with this faith, do away with this belief, do away with just you know, acknowledging these things that we don't know which is true or not. You know, these things that are handed down from people that we love. And this is the reason why we hold this stuff so true and we fight for it so much. You know, we defend it to the death because we got it from people that we love, from our mother, from our grandmother, you know, from our sisters and brothers. You know, it's something that we caught from them, like a code. We caught it, and we just got it now. But this is something that has to deal with your whole being, your whole everything. You know, this ain't nothing like, you know, if you're in a relationship with your mate and then your mate does something suspect, you're going to go ahead and investigate. You know, you're going to go ahead and find out what's the reason why, what happened, what's the details, or the whole nine. But when it comes down to your being, your soul, your spirit, you know, your whole you, the real you, you know, when it comes down to that, it seems like we don't need to know, we don't need to to put that much effort into it, that much work into it. We're just going to continue to go off of belief and faith. And so we just need to use this information, these tools that the master teacher gave us to help us to unlock these, you know, hidden talents that's within us, this hidden information locked within our DNA that was given to us through our ancestors, through the blood. So knowing these types of things, it just unlocks certain types of things. It sets off, it gives you those little DNA explosions that people be talking about. It makes you go, oh, yeah, now I get it. Now I remember. Because we forgot a lot of different kind of things. Speaking of forgetting, it leads me to another question that we was having. It was a question about prayer. You know, we all know that in the beginning in Genesis, or in around the beginning, because it says the beginning, not at the beginning in Genesis, but we know that we walked and talked with God. We played hide and seek with God when God was walking through the garden looking for Adam and Eve after, you know, the whole situation with the apple. They said that God was walking through the garden looking for him, calling out for him. So they were able to hide from God. When God asked Cain where his brother was, Cain responded with a smart remark. So he was able to talk slick to God, like, am I my brother's keeper? Do I need to know where he at? Like, you need to know where he at. You know, he basically just got smart with God. You know, we had face-to-face conversations with God. When Cain was banished from the garden, he said, I will be hidden from thy face. So that means that where Cain was going, this God did not go. When Cain was sent to the land of Nod, this God knew about that land because he confirmed it, and he confirmed the beings over in that land. But he said, from thy face I shall be hidden. So that means that this Bible God did not even go over to that land. Because how can you be hidden from God if God is supposed to be the omnipresent, omnipotent, you know, the beginning, the ending, supposed to be everywhere at every single time? If this is supposed to be the Most High, the Supreme Being, why is it that you can hide from him? Why is it that you can talk back to him? Why is it that you can be hidden from his face? And how do we get from that point to having straight face-to-face conversations with God to having to pray? And to find that out, we have to go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. And that says, and I quote, it says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then man began to call upon the name of the Lord. So once we get to Genesis chapter 4 down towards the end, this is the first time that man began to call upon the name of the Lord. And they used the name called Enos. That word is for Enosite. Now the Master Teacher explains a lot about Enosites in a book entitled The Mind. I want to read a little bit about Enosites coming from the Master Teacher, coming out of the scroll entitled The Mind. Beginning with number 21, let me begin by giving you the nature of the human, who is the mortal man, the human being known as Enosites, the children of Enos, son of Seth, who was called in tones Sheth and in rhythm Sheth, and his wife Aklima. O ye children of Enos, know that ye have failed from being to supreme being, to human being, human, to man, to mortal, to mammal. Don't fall any further, my children. Study this small scroll. When the Enosite searches for happiness, they invariably turn to external objects and events for satisfaction. They merely think, if I could just have that car, or if I were just able to get that job, or if only I live here or there, then I will be happy. They have no perception of the fact that the mind may be still and at peace for a short time on attaining the desired object. But eventually, the mind becomes tired of its newly made toy and seeks treasure elsewhere, still in search of happiness. However, know this, my child. Each time the external objects fail to bring happiness, the Enosite may acquire new material possessions. A position with more responsibility, money, and a new dream home, being locked in person, place, and things. However, my child, there always remains the same mind. However, your mind is an elusive animal to tame. Many theories exist as to how it works, yet the human process seems to remain intangible. Why does one so often find him or herself caught in the same frustration and the same problems? It is said that this free society, but in truth, it is each Enosite's own desires and emotions that blind the Enosite. Consider this, Enosite. A person who smokes cigarettes daily, claiming they are determined to stop tomorrow. How many years has the Enosite been caught up in this parade? The Enosite truly wants to be free of the habit, but lacks the necessary control of his or her own mind. In a sense, the mind is like a record or a laser disc. It contains grooves or impressions. These impressions are formed when certain thought waves become habitual. The benevolent example would be if an Enosite passes a bakery and sees chocolate cake in the window. How delicious, the Enosite says. I will buy that cake. If he or she ignores that thought wave and turns his or her mind to something else, then no pattern is formed. However, if he or she identifies with the thought, the Enosite gives life to it. The Enosite buys the cake, looking forward to enjoying it as dessert that evening. Now, suppose the Enosite finds he or she must pass that same bakery every Wednesday and Friday. Each time the Enosite goes by, he or she recalls that wonderful cake again and purchases another. Now, ponder this. What was originally just a flash in the mind has become a force in his or her life. Grooves in the mind are not necessarily negative. There can be grooves in the mind which are uplifting. And there are those which brings one down. There must be a striving to develop love, compassion, a sense of service, cheerfulness, kindness, and many other qualities, which not only make one's own life happy, but which radiates to others. Everyone wants to be his or her best. Each person would like to think that he or she is perfect. Yet, despite repeated resolutions, every person finds so many times being less than what he or she would like to be. The cause of this predicament is the ego, or the ink in Aramaic Hebrew, or al, that in Syriac Arabic, and ego in Greek, and as we say in Nuwapik, Dutch. The ego, my child, is the cause of all bondage and is the chief barrier to the experience of reality, one of the hardest attributes to destroy. Now, that was from the Scroll on Top of the Mind, written by the master teacher, Yano Zoda. And it explains how our mind works, you know, how we get so caught up in repetitive things and how we, you know, we ask for something, but as soon as we get that one thing, we want something else. And how if we continue to do something over and over and over and over and over again, it actually just becomes a groove, like a record, and it just continuously does it, kind of like praying, kind of like having faith, kind of like Christianity itself. It's like a passed on family tradition, and it's just like all the other kind of bad habits that we picked up through the family, you know, like high blood pressure and all the kind of, you know, different kind of diseases that we could avoid, you know, by having proper diets and things of that nature. But because our family members did it and we grew up around them and we watched them and we had the same blood they do, so, which means we had the same habits, the same kind of personalities, we're going to do exactly what they do. And therefore, we're going to get exactly what they get. And so, you know, we need to try to get to a point so that we can make a stop to this, you know, because our ancestors, our great-grandmothers, great-grandfathers, and things of that nature didn't have the technology that we have today. They did not have the ability to go and research the kind of information that we can do, or they had the ability, but not. It wasn't as easy as it is today. today we can do so much research and we don't even have to leave the, you know, get out of our house coat. We can do all this stuff in the comfort of our bedroom or something like that. But, you know, doing this research is very important because this is your soul that you're talking about. This is your spirit. This is your whole being, your whole, you know, your whole afterlife, your whole everything. This is what you should be living for. This is, should be the most important thing on this planet to you. Not, you know, the next time your favorite TV show come on, or not the next time the Jordans come out, or, you know, what's the newest 2015 car go have in it. Those kind of things should not be the most important things in our lives. So your religion, your belief system, your everything should not be just led back to faith. You know, it should not just be on belief, because, you know, we can talk about this for days. Your faith and your belief relies back to the people that told your people about this book, about this being, about this biblical God that they speak of, was forced on our ancestors by slave masters. So when you say faith, and I have faith in God, your faith is in the person that actually told you about God. And when I say told you, I mean telling your ancestors that told their children, that told their children, that told their children, that told you. So do you want to leave it just at that? Do you want to just leave it at, you know, this is what the slave master passed down through my family for me? And do you want to accept that? Is that good enough for you? Or is it worth getting up off your knees and taking a peek over that wall, because we are 20 feet tall? All we have to do is just realize it and just get up and just, you know, look around. Well, sister, how do you feel about that? You know, the thing that I read from the master teacher, friend of mine, talking about the Enosites and how we fail from grace and, you know, our bad habits that we have, you know, speaking of the cake and things of that nature. You know, I'm pretty sure you had some cake before. How do you feel about that, Hula?
Well, yes, that definitely falls, or has fallen under that category, especially with the mind of wanting things. Like, you want something, like, I wanted a car, I got the car, I didn't want that car anymore, I wanted a new car. Even now, I want a new car. So, knowing that it's really not important as long as I get, you know, from point A to point B or whatever. But I actually just learned something too. Like, I didn't know a lot of that stuff. I actually had a conversation with a classmate of mine, and she's an older lady or whatever. And she basically was telling me how it was back in the day when, you know, she's a Christian or whatever, and how it was forced on them, and they did these things just to get by, to survive. And then it changed from just surviving into, you know, that's what they started to believe in or whatever. And she was around during the whole civil rights and, you know, all of that during that time. Actually, before then, not quite slavery, but back when slavery was ending and, you know, all of that. Like, this, the mindset was, the slave mentality was, you know, still strong. But strong now, but it's a different kind of mind, slavery. Mental slavery, it is, you know, like now. But she was saying that, and I was telling her, you know, like, how long are you going to use that excuse? Like, you've had questions and you've had thoughts and stuff like that. Like, you can't keep using that as an excuse as to why you do the things that you do in your religion or whatever. I remember I went to a Christian college, and I had to do a project or whatever, and basically, of course, I went against the grain of everyone else, and I pointed out a lot of contradictions and stuff in the Bible and stuff like that, and she actually was one of the only ones who actually tried to, I guess, battle me, or I guess she wanted to prove a point or prove her faith or whatever, which, you know, faith doesn't compare to facts, so... You know, she really started feeling some type of way, but eventually we became friends or whatever. And so she broke down to me how her mindset was. And so, you know, I can really see, you know, the mindset as far as coming from the mind school and whatnot. But, cool.
And it's very sad too, like, because we really want to, even though this is our job and this is why we're here, this is why we're on the show, this is why, the master teacher did everything that he did for 40 years, every day in and day out, continually to wake our brothers and sisters up. But to see, especially somebody that's older than you, seeing the grandmothers out here, the great grandmothers, the ones that's been in church constantly for every Sunday, every single month, every single year, never missed a Sunday at all, but paid their tithes twice a Sunday, just went broke up in the church, just, spent all their little Social Security money, all the little Medicaid money, all little everything, and still just walking around, holding on, clutching that Bible, holding on, clutching that cross, and don't even really know where it came from. Don't really know the meaning of it. Don't even know that this book that they hold so true and so everything is just this is like the 5,000th time that this book has been translated, and it lost so much, and there's been so much trickery put into it. And, just like you said a little while ago, sister, it's still a slave mentality. Even though the chains have left, the slavery is still within the mind. That was the whole part of the Willie Lynch thing. He taught the slave masters that let the body be free. We can't just keep beating these slave masters, beating these slaves to death. We can't just keep killing them and all this other kind of stuff. We got to let the body be free, but keep the mind. So slavery has not ended. We are still slaves if you choose to be a slave today. But you can easily still be a slave and not know it, because all you have to do is just not do anything. Which leads us to this next point that a lot of Christians try to use. They love to throw this out there, but yet I don't understand when they use it. They say that faith without works is dead. I really don't really get that statement, because I don't get what their works is. They may say that the works is telling people about Jesus and how you die for your sins and all this other kind of stuff, but that's, everybody heard that before. So what are the works? Is the works like the missionary people? Or, I mean, faith without works. Work to me is getting up and doing something, change, accomplishing something that wasn't accomplished before. So if all this stuff was already laid out that, this Jesus character died on the cross for your sins, and now you ain't got to worry no more, that he's washed away with the blood and all this other kind of stuff, all that stuff has already been established. So what is the work that you're doing? Like, what's different that you're doing now that wasn't different before? Are you doing any kind of research? Are you going back to the land to try to find, where that ark is at, or where that cross is at? Are you trying to, what are you actually doing? This whole statement of faith without works is dead. I'm pretty sure you've heard of it a lot too, sister. How do you feel about that statement, the faith without works is dead? Poor.
Well, I really, really don't. Well, I get it, but I don't get the scripture and whatnot, because I feel like if you're working to get whatever it is that you need or whatever it is that you want, like if you want a promotion, then you want to do extra hours or do extra good at work, or if you want a good grade in your class, then you're gonna, do extra credit, or if you want a new car, you're gonna save, the amount of money that you need to get that car, or if basically if you want anything, anything, then you're gonna work to get it. And if you're working to get it, what do you need faith for? Because you should know that you're going to get it because you're working hard to get it. Now, the only way that you won't get it is if you're trying to get something that you know there are other forces that's going to, stop you from getting it. Like African Americans in corporate America, you know that you'll only go so far because they won't allow you to go but so far. And even if you do go get up to that point or make partner or whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to have to basically lose your values in doing so in a lot of situations that I've seen. So faith without works is dead, but what do you need faith for? If you should know that you're going to get it. If you want to lose weight, you're going to exercise. If you want to stop smoking, then you're going to you know, do whatever it is that you need to do. You don't have to have faith in a being that, you know, you really don't have knowledge of in order to accomplish certain things. So what is faith? Like, what is the purpose of faith? What's the purpose of having, you know, faith in even in relationships? How do you have faith in your partner or whatnot? Why do you need faith in your partner? If you're communicating and all of that and doing everything that you both are supposed to be doing, why do you need faith? Why do you need to have faith in your partner? Different stuff like that. So I didn't understand the whole reasoning or the purpose behind faith.
Well, you know, us as human beings, you know, we continue to, one thing I noticed is that we continue to fall back into that Enosite category. Like, even, you know, we read the whole thing over in Genesis talking about the Enosites, but it's a point, you know, after we're born where we become Enosites once again, all over again. And I feel like, you know, we come Enosites again at, say, like, the age of 3 or 4, when we leave our true God, our mother. You know, before the age of 3 or 4 or 5, you know, everything that we needed came from the mother, our God, the reason for us being here, you know, through our ancestors, through the Most High, all the way down through our mother. You know, that is our true God. That is the one that brought us into this world. That is the one that gave us everything that we needed when we were a child or a baby. But up until that age of 3 or 4 years old, you know, every time that you were hungry, you didn't have to say, I'm hungry, or you didn't have to pray or, you know, have faith that food was going to come that day. You knew it. Every time you saw your mother or every time you saw God and you gave her that look and she read that emotion, that first language, you were going to eat. You knew that all you had to do was just, you know, make a little cry or something like that, and that just lets that mother know that you're sleepy or that you need this or that you need that. You never had to say anything. You didn't have to, you know, y'all never prayed before she breastfed you. Y'all never prayed on that kind of stuff when she tucked you in or had to change your diaper. You never had to do any kind of diaper prayer. It was just, it was done. It was necessary and it was taken care of. And then when you became at the age of 3 or 4 or 5 years old, that's when your faith was hidden from God, like it said in Genesis. That's when she dropped you off at daycare or at your grandmama house or big mama house or whoever it may be. But your faith was hidden from God at that point. And so then you started to have to ask. You started to have faith, okay, lunchtime may be coming around in a minute, so I got faith that it's going to come on time. You know, you had to start trusting other people other than God. So then that's when your faith and your beliefs started having to come into play, because everybody else couldn't read you like your own mother could. Everybody didn't speak the same language that your mother could, even though we can read emotion from each other, but it's nothing like that emotion reading coming from your mother, coming from your own God. So as we keep on becoming these Enosites, we keep on becoming these mortal men, these forgetful beings, you know, we just keep on forgetting, but we need to start remembering. We need to actually do something. That's where the works come in. That's when we need to find out, why is it that I don't know for sure until I die what the truth is going to be, when I can find the truth out now, when I can go do some research now, when I can go and just do something simple, like look up the word God in one of the oldest languages, you know, before all the different translations. Let me find out, what did it mean back then? Because they didn't speak English back in those days. So what language did they speak back then? Let me see what that word meant back when they spoke it, because this version right here is a very watered down version. So if I'm going to put my whole everything into this, my whole being, my whole everything, then I need to know more than just having blind faith, you know, having somebody else lead me by the hand and I don't even know who this person is or where they come from. So the whole statement of faith without works is dead is basically the slave master telling you to have faith in what I just told you and do not do anything but sit there and continue to sit there until I come tell you something else. Because, you know, that's the part where they tell you that Jesus is coming back for you. So you just sit there until Jesus comes back for you, and have faith, have blind faith, And don't you dare question anything that I tell you. You see, back in those times, this was forced on us. This was not no, church wasn't like it was, you know, when you went to church, you know, back for our original ancestors that came up, that was forced over to this country. It wasn't like that. It was whips, it was chains, it was lynchings, it was your family getting taken away from you, it was your children getting taken away from you. It was, I mean, the kind of stuff that, you know, you can imagine the kind of stuff that they were going through. And at that time, they were given this book. They were given this book and they were told about these people in this book, this God character in this book, this Jesus character in this book, and it, you know, all those different kind of scriptures in there about respecting your slave, you know, your slave masters, and all, you know, love your slave master just like you love Jesus. All those different kind of things was forced on them, forced. You know, we didn't even read the English language. The English language is not old at all. We had our own language. We had our own way of life. We had our own culture. We knew because we had knowledge from mouth to ear. It was passed down from generation to generation. But then we come over here and get changed. And now we have to have faith in what these the same people that came and took us and enslaved us. Now we have that Stockholm syndrome, which is, you know, having that sympathy and compassion for your capturer. It happens everywhere in every single country. Every country that's been taken over by another group of people, whatever the victor is, whomever that victor is, they're the ones that write the history book. They're the ones that select the religion for all the people in that land. And sometimes they force you to be in that religion or you can die. And that's your only options right there. So that's where all this religious stuff comes from. So we hope that you know where your religion comes from, where your faith comes from, because you need to know this kind of thing. And if anybody out there, you know, that does have an answer for if faith without works is dead, you know, please go ahead and share it with us. We'd definitely like to, you know, build with you about that. So I had another question. Do we really need faith? You know, we, of course, we've already answered that a lot. You know, we don't need faith. What we need to do is to, you know, get up and do things, to stop being so lazy, stop being so dependent on the next person to just tell us what this is and what that is. You know, we don't need faith. What we need is to know. What we need is to be proactive, to be doing something, to prove all this stuff right. You know, like if you're going to defend the Bible to the death and you're going to, you know, just look at me crazy because I'm telling you that there's more than one God, then you need to be able to prove to me without just looking in only this Bible. Like, go outside of just the Bible. Show me where this comes from. Show me why this is true. How come they never found the ark? How come, you know, they've never found the cross? How come the only thing that they found was this cloth or this shroud that they say they got this image that somehow appeared? You know, all this little fantasy fairy tale type stuff. That's the only thing that people can prove, but they have nothing else. That's it. Now, if you were to do some research and start studying your own ancestry, you're starting your own mystery or my story, you'll see that we got evidence all over the place, all over the globe, not just in Egypt, not just in Africa, but all over the globe. There's pyramids underwater in China. There's pyramids on Mars. There's pyramids. There's evidence left all over the place from our ancestors because they knew that we would forget. They knew that we would fall from where we were and bump our head. And then we wouldn't get back up and realize that we are 20 feet tall. We still don't know how tall we are because we won't get up off of our knees. We've been on our knees since slavery. It's time for us to get up. So, another question that we do, what is your faith in who? Like, who is your faith in? Do you know God? Like you say you know God? Do you know what God means? Do you know what type of word God is? Did you know that God was a German word? Like, all these different kind of things. Like, has anybody put you to the test? Like, you know, these different kind of things. It's been too long that we've just accepted this kind of stuff. And we just be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. It's been well over 2,000 years. If I'm not mistaken, Jesus said, I will return in a little while. To me, a little while is way less than 2 days. So, you know, that's just me, but who is your faith in? Because even God had faith. When you go back to Genesis, and it says that God made the, well, let me go back there. Hold on 1 second. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. Who, Sister Nantiki Cole, do we have any hands up in the room before I continue? Who, Sister Nantiki Cole? All right, well, I'm going to continue on.